Good morning to everybody. Glad you are here with us today. Looks like my biggest amen corner is not here today. Bob's not here. Jan's not here. Okay. Ann's not here. Bob and Ann aren't here. I hope they're okay. I hadn't heard. They're all right. Well, they'll get a call from me today. I do check the roll, and I notice the roll is empty on that seat right there. So if my biggest amen corner's not here, what are y'all going to have to do? Amen. That's exactly right. Y'all are going to have to say it a little bit louder and a little bit longer and a little bit stronger, okay? So that's how that's going to have to work. So I appreciate the amens. I truly, truly do. I need to start off by making an announcement, and it's one in which all of us need to really pay attention to, because millions with an S are going to be affected by this. I told y'all a couple of months ago that a man by the name of Joe T, we call him Joe T, I can't pronounce his last name, that's why I call him Joe T. He's in India, and they went to the Indian Supreme Court. Currently in India, if you become a Christian, you lose all rights as a citizen of the country of India, which means that they have socialized medicine, so you get no health care, which means that you get no education, which means that you get no police protection. All of your rights as a citizen are stripped from you. And he went to the Indian Supreme Court back a few months ago and pleaded their case to change that law to allow for Christians in India to have the same rights as anyone else in the Hindu nation. Yes, that's an amen. This week or next week, the Indian Supreme Court is going to make a ruling. This week or next week. So my response is this. This week and next week, be incredibly prayerful, because that opens the door. Remember, India is the largest populated country in the world. That opens the door for millions of people to become Christians. Pray for that. Pray for that. Pray for His work. He is such a fine individual. I wish I had his stamina and his power and his commitment, because his far outweighs mine, and I know that. So pray for Joe T. Pray for the people of India. Pray for the Indian Supreme Court that they make the right decision, which is God's decision. We need to pray for that for us too, by the way. I want to talk to you this morning about something kind of interesting. One of the hardest things for a minister to do is week by week come up with ideas as to what I'm going to talk to you about on Sunday morning. And a lot of times I forget what I've told you, so I tell you the same story more than once. And some of you already know that. But realize that oftentimes it's difficult to come up with ideas. But I know this for a fact. The Holy Spirit guides me. I know that for a fact. And some of you may say, oh, that's just insanity, but let me tell you something. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit helps me to determine what I need to say, to determine what I need to talk to you about, to bring you the Word of God. And he brings to memory a lot of things that may have been in the past that I've done, that I've seen, that I've been a part of, and I can relay those to you that will help you in your walk with God. My goal is to help you in your walk. My goal is for you to grow. My goal is that if you are not a Christian, that you become a Christian. That is my goal. And so everything that I do up here is for that purpose, to try to serve that. And I want you to know that I have a few things that I learned years ago that brings me to remembrance Jesus Christ and God. And when I see those things or hear those things, I automatically remember God. Automatically. For example, when I see a cardinal fly, automatically I remember God. And the reason why, and this dates way back, folks, but the reason why, I had a friend by the name of John Hundley, who was much, much older than I am, who could have been my grandfather, that used to take me fishing all the time, and we saw a redbird one time sitting on the bank, a cardinal. And John says, look over there at that cardinal. See that cardinal? If you make a wish before he flies away, your wish will come true. I go, oh, I wish we could catch some fish. Because up to that point, we hadn't caught any. So I wished we could catch some fish. And so the cardinal flew away, and about an hour or so later, we got into a big school of black bass and started catching them, and we caught one on every cast. Have y'all ever done that? I've done that. And folks, let me tell you something, there's nothing like it. Bringing them in on every cast. And we had a great time. And then when we got to the bank, John looked at me and said, what was your wish with that cardinal? I said, I wish that we could catch some fish. And he said, and we did, didn't we? Well, from that point on, every time that I've seen a cardinal, every single time, I think about God, I think about Jesus Christ. When I see the sunrise come up over the hill, every time I think about God, I think about Jesus Christ. When I see the sunset, it's the same way. When I see a bolt of lightning flash in the sky, I remember my father, who on his deathbed watched a storm, and he made the comment, can you imagine the power of God? I remember those things. And it brings me to that memory. One of those things that brings me to the remembrance of God or Christ all the time is that if I see the number 3, don't ask me why, I really don't know, other than Jesus' number is 333, supposedly. So anytime I see the numbers 3 together, I automatically think about Jesus Christ. Well, this week, I was on my way to the office. And I pull up behind this pickup truck that's in front of me. And the license plate on this pickup truck has 033. Well, that automatically starts making me think about Jesus, starts making me think about God, starts making me think about all these different things. And then on the other side, the letters were you be you. Now, I found that to be real interesting. And the reason why I found that to be so interesting is because there's all kinds of commercials on television that talk about how we should be ourselves. We should not be influenced by others. We should be ourselves. And that one said, You be you. And it got my attention. And so as I was driving down the road, I started thinking, I said, you know what? I can make a sermon out of that. So what I did was I looked at these verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Immediately came to mind, and again, this is something that I believe the Holy Spirit does. As I've told you before in our study of the Holy Spirit, He helps you to remember things. Well, this was something that I remembered. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 said this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. You be you. And let me tell you exactly what that means. For you to not be transformed to this world or conformed to this world, the question is, who am I? Who am I? And this goes with everybody in this audience today. Who are you? Who are you? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? Where are your convictions in this world? Well, I want to start out by telling you who you are. First, you are loved. Everybody wants to quote John 3:16. But do you know what John 3:16 really says? Do you really know? Everybody wants to quote it, everybody wants to say it, and they quote it all the time. And I've told you about the guy that used to wear the multicolored hair, and he'd sit in the stadium and stuff, and he'd always weave back and forth. He had a big old mohawk, or not one a mohawk, what was it, the afro, okay? And he'd weave back and forth and whatnot, and then the camera would come on him, and he'd hold up a sign and say, John 3:16. And everybody says, oh, isn't that great, John 3:16? That's a wonderful verse, and it is a wonderful verse, and it is one in which you should know. And all of us should know it by heart. But realize what it is. It's a statement that God so loved you. Make it personal. God so loved you that what happened? He gave His only begotten Son so that you may live forever with Him. He sent His Son to pay our debt for sin so that we ourselves would not have to pay that debt. That's a powerful verse, but it's not the end-all be-all of all verses. But it is powerful in that it tells us how much you and I are loved. Those of us who are parents, could you have given one of your children for somebody who doesn't love you? Could you have given your only son for somebody who denies your existence? God loved you. God loves the world. And because of that, He sent His Son. So first thing we need to remember as to who we are, we need to remember that we are loved by God. First and foremost. Second, you've been bought. You've been purchased by a great sacrifice. As I mentioned a minute ago, Jesus paid our debt for sin so that we wouldn't have to pay that debt. But on the same regard, if you look at this and understand it, the way that it's written here in 1 Corinthians 6:20, we've been bought out of slavery. We've been purchased away from the slavery of sin. We are no longer part of sin. We're no longer part of the condemnation of sin. We are separated from it. Why? Because God loved us so much that He bought us. He bought us with the blood of His Son. Jesus paid our debt. So therefore, we are loved and we have been bought and paid for. Our master is God. Our master is no longer sin. We are God's children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us this, that we are called the children of God. Are you proud of your parents? Proud of your grandparents? Proud of your history? I know I am. Some of you may not be so much. But I know I'm very proud of those who went on before me because they laid the groundwork for me. Not genealogy speaking, but the way I am speaking. There were preachers before me. There were teachers before me. There were elders, there were deacons before me. And I had, as Rick talked, two giant oak trees in my house. My father and my mother, who brought me up in the way in which I should go so that I would not depart from it. Yes, I'm proud of my heritage, but I'm most proud of the heritage that I have now, which is that I am called a child of God. You should be proud of that in all respects. And if somebody asks who you are or where you come from, my response is, I am a child of God and I come from the righteousness that sent His Son to pay for my debt. I am His child. Therefore, if we are children of God, we are also fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. Folks, that means that we have a place in heaven. I've told you many times before, I know where I'm going. I know where I will be. And it's not because of anything that I have done, because I want you to know I have sinned. I have done wrong. There is nothing that I have done that deserved this. But because God so loved me, His Son paid my debt. And therefore, what I have is I am a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. I have a place with them in heaven forever and ever and ever. And people ask me where I'm going a lot of times. And I look at them and I say, I'm going crazy and I'm halfway there. But I tell you where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. That's where you're going to. We are going to heaven. and we will sing great praises of songs to God the Father forever and ever and ever. Today, as Christian people, we are also the example. Folks, there's a lot of people in this world that will see no Bible in their life except what they see in you. There's a lot of people in this world that will hear no words of encouragement except the words they get from you. There's a lot of people in this world that will see no example of how to live a Christian life except when they see you. You are that example. You have been loved. You have been bought. You are like heirs with Jesus Christ. You have a place in heaven. And you are the example for others to follow because you can show them the way. Jesus is that way, the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by Him. Now, here's the other part of that verse. The world will try to change you. The world doesn't like us. We are called peculiar. I always kind of liked that. People looked at me and said, "You're a little different, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I sure am." Nothing wrong with being different. What's wrong is blindly following the crowd. Step out. Step away from. Don't be a part of. The world will want you to become, as it says right there, tasteless. The world will want you not to be a Christian person. You will be persecuted for that. You will be ridiculed for that. You will be made fun of for that. You young people, whom I love, by the way, and have been around all my life, realize how much you are going to be encouraged to follow the crowd. But as I've told you before, in my situation, growing up, they quit even calling me to ask me to go out drinking with them because they knew I wasn't going to do it. But when one of them was too drunk to drive, who did they call? When they got into trouble, who did they call and ask for help? I saw it growing up, and I know, young people, you will see it growing up too. The ones who follow the crowd are not the leaders. The leaders are the ones who step out away from. The leaders are the ones who people will follow because they trust them to lead them in the right direction. The world will ridicule you. They will turn away from you. They will persecute you. They may even put you to death. But the world is not me. I will not be the world. I will be what God created. 2 Timothy 4:10 talks about an individual. This is one of the saddest individuals in the Bible. His name is Demas. He is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. 2 times when he's mentioned by Paul both those times. And in those 2 times that he's mentioned as a fellow worker, a servant, one who is following, one who is trying to do everything he's supposed to do, one who is doing the right things as far as God is concerned. But in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas turned away from God. And instead of following God, he followed the world. Folks, there's a lot of pretty things out there in the world. And there's a lot of people who like those pretty things and want those pretty things and go after those pretty things. And it looks really good for a little while. But remember what Solomon said about that? It's all vanity. Why is it all vanity? Because it means nothing. You can't take it with you. It means absolutely nothing. And all it will do is take you down the wrong path and put you in a place away from God forever and ever. A place of constant torment. That's what being conformed to the world is. So when you see, when you see this, when you are tempted, don't fall into temptation, because that's not you. You be what God created. When Satan comes knocking at your door, do not turn to him, but rather turn away from, reject him, because that's not me. I will be what God created. And when this world wants you to change, realize what it is. That's not me. I will be what God created. So folks, when I saw that license plate and I saw "you be you," my response was pretty simple. I don't need to be what this world is, because that's not me. I don't need to follow the crowd. I need to stand out, because that's what God wants me to be. I will not be conformed to this world, but rather I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind on God. If you are a Christian, realize what you are. You be you. But if you're not a Christian, realize what you need to do. You need to step up and become what God wants you to be. We give an invitation. Now's your opportunity. If you need to be baptized or you need our prayers, come while together we stand and sing. struggling with sin. This lesson today is for anyone who is struggling with temptation. Because temptation, because this world is not you. Strive to be what God has created in you. Strive to be that perfect person as Jesus was, seeking His righteousness always, seeking to be what God wants you to be. Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for the love that you have for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.